With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, this is JN Fiend. Hey, look, I got to give a quick shout out to Kevin Bobby. Look, I went a little hard on Twitter. His name is at KBobLife. I was throwing teams under the bus. Same old Cleveland. Same old Jets. Slipped up and said same old Washington. And somehow, some way, they won. He came at me. I felt the need to apologize. So there's your apology, Kev. There you go, son. I hope you're happy being 1-15.
This is state of emergency.
What you want me to do? I'm sorry. I'm back. Let's go get him, Judge.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by
Jeremy J.N. Phoenix. Yes, I'm in the building as well.
We are here to do pop culture.
Hit you with that pop.
This is Raspy Voice Kids, in case you didn't know. We're ready to go do you another show. This time we're talking about kids just a little bit, talking about how we treat these kids in situations. I have two children. Jeremy has none, but I find it fun to make sure that they don't win nothing. When we play any game, I make sure they don't win nothing. If it's up to me,
the problem ain't is, ain't no participation trophies. We ain't raising soft kids. Not everybody getting a handout. You want to win? Win. We ain't taking it easy. But the difference is, we ain't talking about taking it easy. You talk about cheating. Cheating.
Listen, the thing I learned is they're getting too good at certain things. Like, I can't beat them at Mario Kart anymore. I can beat the younger, I can beat my daughter, but I can't beat my son. I just can't. No matter which version of Mario Kart we're playing, no matter what game we're playing, I can't do it. But when things are in my control, like, let's say, Monopoly, you better believe I'm the banker, and those kids have no idea what hit them.
So funny. They have to grow into that. Everybody has to learn a hard lesson in life, and they will. And hopefully you're schooling them, so when they start playing with their friends, if they're still playing board games by that time, they know you got to call a banker. Let anybody be the boot, the hat, the thimble, whatever the else they want to be. You want to win a Monopoly? Everybody knows you got to be the banker.
Got to be the banker, because I always have money. Somehow I always have just enough money, just enough. The key to cheating is you can't be greedy. You can't be overly greedy. Some people get overly greedy. They want to have piles of money. Then some people start asking questions. Where did that come from?
Yep. But, and you know what? And I don't even call it cheating. I call it preparing your kids for life. Because, hey, look, life's not fair.
Life is not fair. And the truth is, you can't trust nobody. The closest to you will do you wrong.
So amen.
You just gotta know you can't trust nobody in this life.
Yep.
But see, I tweeted that out, and I posted it on Facebook. And I got a lot of comments about it. And one of the things that you just said is what David Clark said. David Clark said it's better to learn the world isn't fair from you than from somebody else. Tiffany Chanel Harrison, shout out to the Harrisons. Tiffany says humility starts at home.
Be humble or get humbled.
Sierra, her sister, said life lessons. 100%. Somebody asked me if I had any shame, and I told them I have no shame. I feel like I feel like it's good for them to know who the alpha is, okay? Who the alpha is. I'm the alpha. They need to know that.
They need to learn. They need to know. They need to know and recognize and always recognize.
Then listen to what one person said. Play fair, no cheating, skill. When they finally beat you, they will feel good about the win. Not because they beat you, but because they are smart enough to know they earned it.
Yeah, man.
Ask Astros how they feel about that, okay?
Yeah.
Ask Bill Belichick how he feels.
That's right.
You know?
Ask every billionaire alive.
And you're preparing them for life. To this day, you talk about little kids. I'm talking about right now. You go golfing. You better have the scorecard. You better keep everybody shot. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you think people being honest out there, they got another thing coming.
It's like Bobby Hill says to his dad when asked, or maybe I don't remember if he said it to his dad or if he said it to Buck Strickland. He's like, I use my old trusty hand wedge.
That's too funny. I use my old trusty hand wedge. I never heard that, but that's great.
And we all know a few players who have used the hand wedge multiple times.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You got to pay attention. These streets ain't for games, son.
Nope.
Got to learn lessons.
Yep. And I'm out here doling them out every chance
I
get.
There you go. Let me just say, another thing I've learned is if you're a child, never take it easy on your parents. And what do I mean? Brandon, you know the last time I played my father in basketball?
I know exactly the story.
I was like 14, I believe, quick as lightning.
Too old to be losing.
I could have crossed him over 30,000 times, but I took it easy because I kind of felt bad for him. After we were done playing, I did not expect him to say, that's the last time we playing. And then, look, boom, I'm just out. Can never play him again. He left being the winner. When I didn't have the heart to tell him, you know I was taking it easy on you, right?
No,
that's when I learned.
Dad said he'll play us right until we can almost beat him, then he'll never play us again.
Yes, and it was too late. I just took it easy on him. I felt sorry for him. So in all things, like when NCAA comes out and I'm playing the video game, and back in the day, I used to be like, oh, well, let me be a team, you know, comparable to whoever is playing with. Let me get a comparable team. Nope, not anymore. Because people don't care about that. They care about bragging rights. So I learned early on, no, I'm going to be the best team on the game with all the 99s everywhere. And you can complain about how I picked the best team, but you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to point in my face that you beat me.
Nope. And you're not going to tell people bragging.
That's right.
Especially now that we have social media. Talking about how you did what to who.
It's learning lessons, and that's what you're doing. So, hey, look, people want to say that's cheating. Do you feel bad? Brother, I'm here to tell you hats off to you, brother.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You ain't got no kids, but you know what it feel like, so I appreciate that.
Right? And just let them know, I'm going to stop a mud hole through them. They haven't stepped to me in any games.
Here's the thing that's funny.
Layla, I'm calling you out, Layla.
I'm telling you, by the way, the funny thing is there's a cheater's edition of Monopoly where you're allowed to cheat. And so they're always telling me about that, the cheater's edition, where you're allowed to cheat with no awareness at all that I'm straight cheating them the whole time. And they don't listen to this podcast, so this is their fault. They're never going to know.
The other thing is the cheater's game of Monopoly. I guarantee you there's a way to cheat in the cheater's game of Monopoly. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
If you get caught cheating, you get handcuffed or whatever. But you're allowed to cheat.
Yeah. But that's what it is. Tell us, do you take it easy on your kids? Do you take it easy when playing other people that you know you're going to stomp a mud hole through? Let us know. Let us know your feelings. RVK, get at us.
Rack me, boys!
Big shout to Shrinkables! Shrinkables, supporting the RVK partnership since day one.
If your Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot.
Beautiful morning. Yeah, the sun in my morning, babe. Nothing in the water.
on to segment number two with the Raspy Voice Kids. It's Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pit, with
Jeremy J.N. Phoenix in the building, the booth, ready to go.
And it's all the way to Thursday. You've had plenty of time to digest what happened in the football game. The first game of the year for the West Virginia Mountaineers playing Eastern Kentucky, the Colonels. Jeremy, what did you think?
I think the number one thing is, like I said before, don't overreact. You know, I believe Aaron Rodgers said, relax.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He said, relax. So for us, it's kind of a flip side. We could be super high on the fact we ran for over 300 yards and controlled the ball and held them under. I believe we held them under 300 yards total offense, right? I'm pretty sure it was something like that. Either way, we played pretty well on defense. We looked pretty good on offense. But the truth is, it's EKU. Like, what did you expect to see? Marshall blew them out in the same fashion, maybe even worse. Now, I think we took the pedal off the foot off the pedal earlier than Marshall did. But yeah, there's things that I feel like we were, there's things that I saw in that game that were very encouraging. And then there's some things that made me step back, say, I wonder what we're going to look like against Oklahoma State.
Like?
All right. So for instance, let's talk about the good. Obviously the offensive line protected the quarterback, kept our quarterback up, standing. Deggy was under no pressure. The receivers look good running their routes. I still have a little issue with us dropping passes. Once again, third year in a row, dropsies. I don't know how many officially recorded drops there were. There were too many for my liking. Now, I understand we had a COVID year. We're in the COVID year. I understand there was a lot less practices. But based off the last 2 years, I still have a taste in my mouth with great players not catching the rock. So that's one thing I want to see showing up. I like Deggy, man. I feel he's very, very solid. I like his progression. I like our receivers. We're deep. We're explosive. Our offensive line, you can't take your hat off enough to them. That offensive line blocked, protected. They did everything, you know, pretty, pretty well. And that definitely was very encouraging. I also think about Jackson Nipper. I'm going to say Nipper. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. The fullback, unheralded, number 43. If you watched him, O'Loughlin wasn't in at tight end. TJ Banks wasn't in as tight end. I don't know if that helped his playing time. All I do know is every big run was set up with an early pop from the fullback who just stuck his nose in there and got after it. And then you think about the two running backs. Lenny Brown, I felt like, ran with a different edge. I know he's always ran passionate, but this one, it felt like there was a different chip on his shoulder when he was running. Singfield looked more explosive. So offensively, man, there was a lot of things going that I feel confident on. Am I going to say they're stellar A+? No. Do I feel like we're going to have a strong offense, a very, very solid offense? I believe so. And I was encouraged with some of the things I've seen on offense.
I agree, especially when you look at what Sam Brown did as a true freshman, coming in, starting in over Sam James. Neil Brown said he was making a point about practice, and he made that point because Sam Brown went out and made some difficult catches, and Sam James had to been looking on like, what's going on? Now, when Sam James got in the game, he balled. He had the touchdown pass where he was wide open. He was even more open than if the pass was on time, because in my opinion, Deggy was a little short on the pass. But if the pass was on time, he wouldn't even been touched in the end zone. I'm excited about the receiving core, but I was before the season started. I'm with you, though, on the drops. Bryce Ford Wheaton had an important drop. It didn't end up mattering, but I don't like seeing it. I think it gets into players' heads, too.
Yep. Against Oklahoma State, Okie Light, we're going to need it. On the defensive side of the ball, man, we've seen people flying all over. I felt very solid about our secondary. Tony Fields, I mean, I saw one report where it talked about Neil Brown saying he's an NFLer. I'm not sure if that's official or not. What I do know is they say he's one of the fastest linebackers that we have. That athleticism, I think he had 9 or 10 tackles. Just making plays out there. Vandarius Cohen. Maybe didn't light up a stat sheet, but dude only played 26 snaps, and he had a sack and 4 tackles. I liked that. There's a lot of things I liked. What I didn't like is I know we didn't give up 100 yards rushing, but I didn't know how cohesive I felt the defensive line was. We've went on and on about the Stills brothers and Jeffrey Pooler and, you know, Mezador, which Mezador got a sack, big ups to him. And a lot of people, other people on the defensive line. And yet it just didn't feel like a dominating performance. It felt like we gave up some good size runs. I understand you're not going to shut them down all game, but it left me concerned. Why am I concerned? Because we're playing Chuba Hubbard next week. Or 2 weeks from now, Chuba Hubbard, the best running back in the country from Oklahoma State. It really made me take a step back and think, I wonder what we got. And I kept reminding myself, no overreaction Monday. Don't overreact too good. Don't overreact too bad. I understand there's going to be a different hunger against Eastern Kentucky than there is against Oki Light. But if we're talking about things that were, you know, cause for concern, that's one of the things. I don't know if concern is the right word, but I definitely like just noticed it.
I noticed it too, but I'm not concerned about it. I think a lot of it had to do with scheme. A lot of it had to do with what we were doing and why we were doing it. I believe we blitzed 19 times. I'm curious if that number will go up against Oklahoma State. I'm curious also what's considered a blitz. Like, does that count? Well, anyway. We'll see. We'll see. I'm happy with the team, but I'm not head over heels. Like, I'm not thinking that we're going to win the Big 12.
What scares you the most?
The lack of pass rush, I think.
I think we came away with 4 sacks, but let's be real. One of those sacks came against with our first teamers in there.
Yeah, I wanted to see us in their backfield. And I thought we would see them in their backfield all day long, every snap.
The thing that got
Kentucky is not good
at all.
They're not a good football team. It's not, people are like, "Well, we played FCS teams last year, struggled." James Madison is on a different, completely different play.
Preach.
Than Eastern Kentucky. James Madison is a national champion contender. They beat
every year.
FBS teams. James Madison is not Eastern Kentucky. It's a completely different team.
And that's the truth.
And to see, now, granted, we gave up 4.2 yards per play, I believe. We averaged 7.3 yards per play. I believe. I think I'm saying that right. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like. Now, granted, it's hard to say, too, because that was the first play. That was the first, like, time getting to play. First game, you're always going to be a little bit rusty. And a lot of our starters sat by the second half. Jarrett Dagey came out of the game second half. Austin Kendall played as a backup. I'll tell you right now, I was not happy with Austin Kendall at all.
Yeah, man.
Austin Kendall looked tentative. Austin Kendall.
Kendall looked like Austin Kendall.
Looked like Austin Kendall, and I was not happy with what he did. And to watch Garrett Green come in, I'm not telling you Garrett Green can do everything Austin Kendall can do because he's only been in the offense since fall camp, essentially, right? But do you remember what happened when we played Baylor 2 years ago and hurt their starting quarterback in Waco?
Yeah. Backup came up and sliced and diced.
He sliced and diced because we were not prepared for it at all. He had a completely different skill set. And I feel like Garrett Green is that kind of backup. And I would prefer to have him as the second, the number two, QB2, as they say. I would prefer that. What about you?
You know what? The biggest thing for me, first of all, Green is going to be a star. Everybody's saying it. Like, we're not the first people. We're not the people that are breaking news. Everybody knows it. Everybody watch the game. Look right at Green. Look the way he throws. Look at his composure. Dude's going to be a star. No, absolutely. Dude is fast, too. He's going to be a star. But the bigger thing that I had a concern with, the biggest thing all game that I had a concern with is the special doggone teams. Special teams was terrible.
Special teams was
putrid. I'm sorry. I'm not even sugarcoating it. Terrible. Missing easy field goal. had a fair catch interference, a catch interference call, had a kick taken to the house that was called back for holding. Maybe that sparked a touchdown. Maybe it didn't. All I know is it went back to the house. Yep. We had a muff punt. Our special teams, other than punting, because punting, we had, I think, two punts and over 50-yard average. Tyler Sumter did his thing.
Tyler Sumter averaged 55 yards, I believe, on punts.
There you go. Dude did his thing punting. Other than that, atrocious. If you're going to win games in the Big 12, which are a lot about field position, a lot about finishing drives, a lot about not giving up certain opportunities, you're going to have to be way better on special teams. And what I saw Saturday will not cut it. That kind of stuff will lose a close game for you fast.
Yep. So, I don't know, man. I like winning solidly. I like winning a big game. I like winning big in games.
I was wondering what you was talking about, but go ahead.
While leaving plenty of room for improvement, because I think it keeps the players' attention. If you go out and you win big and you're basically flawless, it's hard to keep them humble and help them to understand that they're not that good. When you have the kind of flaws that we're discussing, a team can say, and I've said this before on the show, a coach can keep your attention. You know, Jamal Adai can say, we did XYZ wrong, and we've got to improve XYZ if we're going to beat Oklahoma State. I feel the same way with Jordan Leslie being able to say to that defensive line, if you're going to get the accolades, these are the things that we're going to have to do. We can't have performances like we had on this past Saturday. So part of me likes it, even though I don't like seeing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, let's get to it, baby. Jordan, hit the music. All right, so we're getting to our players of the game. Actually, I you know what? I said that wrong because you know what? We are calling it Show Me What You Got. Who you got for your Show Me What You Got award, Brandon, for this week, week one, West Virginia, EKU. Who showed you what he got?
Letty Brown, 123 yards rushing against first teamers. One out, did his thing into the end zone for the first score of the year. Letty Brown showed me what he had. He showed me what he got.
Yes, sir. For me, I could go with Letty. I could go with Alex Sinkfield. I could go with Torrey Fields, who had 10 tackles. I could go with the offensive line, who ran for over 300, who helped our running backs run for over 300 yards. But for me, it's going to the Beaver Creek kid, Jackson Nipper. That's right, the fullback, number 43. I'm giving it to him. Do I have stats to show you? No, because fullbacks don't get no stats. But if you watch, go rewatch the game. My dude was in there. He stepped up when we needed him. He was a big blocker. Like I said, when O'Loughlin and Banks weren't playing, they were two of the 11 players that weren't playing. He stepped up, and you know what he did? He grinded out. Big shout-outs to your boy. Big shout-outs to the Beaver Creek alum. Big shout-outs to our fullback. Let's go.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. It's time to let us know what you think when you give us your replies on Twitter, on social media of any platform. Let us know who you got, who showed you what they had for this past week. What do you want to talk about now, Jay?
All right, we're going to just wrap this up with a little bit of pro talk, man. We know that college football wasn't the only thing to play. We know we had some NBA. We know we had some NFL. I first want to start talking about Killer Cam Newton up there in New England. And I also want to say I'm tired of, as Keyshawn Johnson said, people moving the goalpost. So I seen Big Ben win a day after. And everybody was talking about Big Ben. Look how spectacularly he looked. He scored so many points. You know, he threw for 3 touchdowns. He threw for 200 and some yards. And they were just praising him. Cam Newton does the same thing. And they say, all I heard was, he can't sustain this. He can't keep running.
Cam Newton threw for 155 yards and ran for 75.
And missed for, like, I don't think 4 or 5 passes all game.
But
I'm not sitting here saying I'm a Patriots fan.
Can't sustain running the ball 15 times a game.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying give your hats off for him having zero weapons and New England building, you know, following a game plan and winning a game that last year, I'm sorry, if Tom Brady was there, I don't know if they'd have won. Because when you have no weapons, your legs become the biggest weapon, and that's what it was in the game. So that's one thing I wanted to say. Aaron Rodgers also looking bounced back, looked way better than what I thought. I don't say I'm shocked because he does it all the time, but I did think he took a step back, and he was like, nah, let me make sure you guys know that my team made a terrible draft choice.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Aaron.
The Chiefs look like the Chiefs. The Pittsburgh picking back up with Big Ben again. I can't stand Big Ben for so many different reasons, but they look good. So, I mean, it was just good to have football back. You know, Saturday full of college football, Sunday full of NFL.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. There's nothing better than Red Zone Channel. Sorry, nothing better than Sunday Ticket. I don't know how I live without it. But
Sunday Ticket is great. Red Zone's better. Sorry.
Yeah.
You don't even have to pick up the controller. They switch around to everything you're missing, you know?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Just chill on the couch, soaking it all in. Missed it. I really missed it. I'm glad it's back. And I can't wait for more of it this weekend.
Let's get to the NBA real quick. Last night, this being Wednesday, so it was Tuesday night, we had the big block from, was it Abaju? How do you say his name? The dude from the Heat.
Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, Adebayo. Big, humongous block to win game one. I thought it was an amazing way to finish the game. His hand was pretty much in the rim. He blocked the Celtics player. Can't forget. What was his name? Light-skinned?
Jason Tatum.
Amazing block. It's going to be a great series. But the main reason why I want to bring up the NBA is not because everybody.
Jimmy Butler was clutch down the stretch, too.
Yeah, man. He needed to be clutch and getting his hair cut, okay?
Yeah.
They got barbers in the bubble, okay, Jimmy? I don't know what look you're going for, but brother, just shape it up a little bit. That's all I'm asking. If I see you in the NBA Finals without cutting your hair, I'm going to have something to say. I'm going to be for real.
He's not going to cut his hair.
Here's the thing, though. The real reason why we're bringing up the NBA is because I cannot believe the Clippers lost. I cannot. Everybody wants to talk Kawhi's better than LeBron. They want to go on and on and on. And my problem is I don't dislike Kawhi. I like Kawhi. The reason why I was hating against Kawhi, I wasn't even hating. Yeah, I guess it is. Hating against Kawhi is because the same thing, when they tried to knight LeBron over Kobe too early, it made me buck back and say, chill. Kobe's still the greatest. LeBron will be maybe here in a few years, but Kobe's still the greatest. So I'm kind of rooting against LeBron because you guys are trying to knight him too early. Same thing with Kawhi. Kawhi won a championship last year, was an MVP, but they're trying to knight him as the best player in the world, and it's LeBron's world. It's still LeBron's world, and you're trying to crown him too early. So that's the only reason I was happy that the Clippers went down. They were up 3-1. They were up the last three games, at least 15 points each game, and blew it. Choked. Playoff P. Paul George, once again, shows that he doesn't have the fortitude to play clutch situations. And, man.
Intestinal fortitude.
Get it.
Playoff P, nothing. Kawhi Leonard, not enough. They combined for 24 points, somebody said, in honor of Kobe. The nerve, the audacity, but it was really a tragedy. Jeremy, Doc Rivers needs to go, in my opinion.
And Doc Rivers, there ain't nobody who loves making excuses more than Doc Rivers. Always somebody else's fault. Always not his fault. This is the third time in his career where he's been up 3-1 and lost. Put that in perspective. In the history of NBA basketball, there's only been 11 teams up 3-1, and three of those belong to Doc. That's right, Doc Rivers. I'm not saying he's not a great coach. I don't think he's elite. I think he can get you there. But he can't take that next step to win it. He won one time. He had one Mack Brown moment where he had the perfect team. KG, Paul Pierce, Rondo, and Ray Allen. Which, for me, it felt more of a player-led team who were able to compel themselves to a win. Him by himself. I'm sorry. Doc,
he's never,
man,
overachieving. You're never looking at his team, seeing him overachieve. All you ever see him do is what is expected or less. And I think it's time for him to go. He's been there too long. I don't think they're going to fire him, though.
Are you ready to start having this debate, real debate, LeBron or Jordan? Because when LeBron wins a championship this year, gets MVP, and has been MVP on three different teams for three championship teams on three different organizations with three different coaches, with three different coaching staffs, with three different role players on his team, are you ready to have this conversation? Granted, I think, what, he'll only have four rings?
He'll only have four, and he's been to the finals 11 times.
And he's won with three different coaches and
it'll
three
be,
different
– I think it'll be 12 times if he makes it.
Totally different casts. We don't have this kind of conversation today. But if you love Michael Jordan, you better keep on hating on LeBron.
Nah, I'm sorry, Jeremy, but I don't. There's nothing LeBron can do to catch Michael Jordan. Jordan, six titles, six MVPs. I don't think there's anything LeBron can do to catch him.
If you go – hold up. If you went double the time Jordan did. You went two times as many times in the championship as Jordan did. You won four so far. And more importantly – Jordan had Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen for every single one of them. LeBron has showed he brought a championship to Cleveland. He went to Miami and won one. Now he's in L.A. and doing it again? And he wasn't even the favorite.
LeBron's
I'm
on my
sorry.
Rushmore. Okay. LeBron's my second greatest.
Anyway, like I said, we can have this conversation later when it happens. And when it happens, there's going to be a big fight.
If you think so, I just don't think there's – I think it's over. I think there's no fight. And I think the Dallas Mavericks beating the Heat, the Heatles, I think that to me sealed LeBron's fate. There's no excuse for losing to Dirk. None.
Not me. What about Jordan losing to Orlando? Okay? And Orlando didn't even win. They got mopped up by Houston.
But
don't want to hear.
Finals with everything on the line.
That's right, because he couldn't make it to the finals. When do you get penalized for making it farther than somebody else? Ever? LeBron is about to be there 12 times.
They were up, Jeremy. They were up two games to
Brandon,
none.
Brandon, think about the whole big – oh, can't do it in the West. Can't do it in the West. Now he's doing it in the West. And don't tell me his team's loaded. Yeah, he has one of the best duos, him and AD. The rest of his cast is garbage other than Rondo. He doesn't have a super deep team. That's why everybody was picking the Clippers to win. If they win this, I'm sorry, real debate time.
And what happens if they lose?
It's over.
Yeah. Even if he goes, because if he goes the next year and wins it, then he'll still have four, and he'll still have all the other accolades you said, doing it three different teams, three different casts, three different coaches, all that stuff.
But you have an extra loss on your resume.
Jeremy, I'm sorry.
Especially to a cheesy Heat or Celtics team.
No, I'm talking about Denver.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm just saying.
And my thing is, LeBron's going to end up being if everything keeps going the way it has been, he's going to end up being the all-time scoring leader. He'll be top five in assists, I think maybe third in assists all-time. LeBron's going to have all kinds of numbers and accolades to point to that people will be able to use as a metric to say he's the greatest or that he was the greatest. But for me, he can't be. He just can't be. It's Jordan.
Okay. Stuck in your nostalgia. First girl you ever kissed. That's cool. No big deal.
You know it's not nostalgia for me. LeBron had a chance. He really did. But, you know, coming back from 3-1, that's a big deal. But I just can't see it. I can't do it.
Jordan never took any teams Jordan's teams were good. The teams that were garbage, Jordan couldn't will them to the finals. LeBron has taken so many. Smush Parker, Brandon. Smush Parker was no, that's Kobe.
That's
my
Kobe.
Bad.
I was about to say that's Kobe.
Okay, Boobie Gibson, same player. Okay, same player, different jersey. Yeah. Boobie Gibson, Zalgiris Ilgauskas. The most unathletic big man the world has ever seen, other than Sean Bradley. Okay. Anyway, we can talk about this later.
Yeah.
But big things in the NBA. So, anyways, we're ready for the next few weeks. We're getting our sports in here. We're fired up. Get at us, RBK.
Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.